All right, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
All right, we're going to get started this morning. We're honored to have Eli back. This is his second time up here, so he's an old pro at it.
Yeah.
So this morning he has, tell him your title. I like this title.
Huh. Says, you know the what, but have you figured out the why?
That's one of those titles that's catchy. I'm going to steal that somewhere down the line. I like that. Very good title. I have no idea what he's going to talk about, but it's a doggone good title, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, without further ado, Sammy. Would you do us the honors this morning of praying for Eli?
Yeah.
And we'll get going here. Thank you, sir.
All right, Lord, we just lift up Eli to you this morning, Lord God, and we just thank you for the word that you've already put in his heart. And we just ask right now, Lord, that it just comes forth and it just spark something in each one of us, Lord God, and just run faster after you and just pursue you with our whole heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you. Eli, it's all yours, brother.
Well, good morning, Downriver family.
Good morning.
So the whole purpose of this title, it ties into obedience, but it's we know what and we know how to obey, and we may know what and what we're supposed to do as a church or as a congregation, but the more important thing is the why, right? So I had started speaking about David and Goliath last time I was here, so I'm just going to continue to use that story because it was very, very important to me growing up. And now it's being used a lot as the underdog story in a lot of places, but for us...
Still see your Bible?
Yep. But for us as Christians, it's not the underdog aspect of it, it's the overcoming aspect of it where someone overcomes and triumphs in the name of God instead of in the name of the world or of the flesh. So I'm going to continue to use that. So we all know David defeated Goliath, but before that, what was David? What was his purpose? So the what was it?
The shepherd boy.
Okay, exactly. That was part of it. So 1 Samuel, and I'm going to just use a lot of these. I'm not going to read word for word because it's a ton of them. But in 1 Samuel 16:14, it speaks of when the Spirit of the Lord left Saul, right, king, for things that he did. So he was no longer at peace. And he says that the Spirit would torment him, and he found no peace during that time. So he needed someone, or he asked for a search. You know, you guys read these stories of, or watch these movies of a king, and I denounce that I look for such person, spread the word. So he wanted someone that can play the lyre. The lyre is basically a small harp. So what happened when they finally, one of the gentlemen said, I know this young man, son of Jesse, right? A warrior, has nothing to do with what they're looking for. But he proclaims he's a warrior, right? He says he can play. So he sends for him, and when David starts to play, it brings peace upon Saul. So, again, one thing the Bible says, and I'll read that part. At 16:18, I believe. It says, one of the servants answered, I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the lyre. He's a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well and is a fine-looking man, and the Lord is with him. What? He's a warrior. So it had nothing to do with what we were looking for. He was looking for a musician. He wasn't looking for an athlete. Nonetheless, Jesse sent his son with food, and when he started to play the lyre for King Saul, it brought peace upon him to the point where Saul asked for Jesse to allow him to continue to be a servant, right? So that's where we know what he was supposed to do. That's David's what. What? He was supposed to deliver food to his brothers and sisters, and he was supposed to play the lyre in order to bring peace upon Saul, right? That was his meaning. According to him, maybe he thought, that was my meaning. Yesterday, I had put myself in a big bind. My brother never asked me for help, right? He was saying, hey, on Friday night, he's talking to somebody else. He's like, yeah, I got to rip this porch down, this slab of porch down, and I got to pour it again. So I looked over and I said, And I had been proclaiming for weeks that this Saturday I was going to do nothing. Because I had been working for the last 7-8 weeks and tirelessly. So I said, I'm not going to do nothing, right? But something pushed me, and it was the presence of the Lord, and said, you need to help your brother. So I did. I said, do you want me to help you? He's like, oh, man, yeah. He said, I'll pick you up at 6:30. I said, in the afternoon? He's like, no, in the morning. I said, okay. So when we get here, we get to this house. It's my childhood home. And the porch, the concrete porch, is 22 feet long by 8 feet wide, right? But we look at the caps, and we're like, it's 4 inches. Fine. We start early. We'll have it all dumped by 12 o'clock. We'll be home, right? So I knew that's my what. My what was that I was supposed to help him break this concrete down. And we looked from the outside at this slab. So as we began to use a jackhammer, the jackhammer wasn't working. It was too weak. And my brother has been working construction for almost 15 years, and he's like, I don't get it. We're breaking this concrete, and we're breaking this concrete. And when we finally get past the first cap, we figure out why the jackhammer is not working that well. First of all, it's a smaller jackhammer. Second of all, it's not 4 inches of cement. It's 8 inches of cement. Right? So my what was helping my brother. My why is because he wasn't going to be able to finish it himself. But the Lord knew that already, right? And as we're breaking this concrete, no two pieces are the same, right? We had to go get another jackhammer, and no two pieces are the same. And I looked at those concrete pieces and chunks as obstacles. As Christians, there's no two obstacles that are exactly the same. But as he was with the jackhammer, I would go, and I'd pick up one piece, and every piece at the beginning was extremely heavy. But as I started becoming used to it, every piece got lighter. Even though the pieces got bigger, the obstacle for me became lighter because my body was becoming conditioned to it, right? As Christians, our spirit becomes conditioned to the attacks from the enemy, right? And we pick up knowledge. So our body and our spiritual body is gaining all this knowledge, right? To be able to combat all these issues that we have. So David, it says where David finally came one day and Goliath, which my Bible says he was about 9 feet 9 inches. That's pretty big to me. I mean, anything's big for me. I'm little, but 9 feet 9 inches is pretty big. Right? I'd say that's a pretty big obstacle in my way.
Yeah.
So he goes and he runs down where everybody's most likely fearful, and one of his brothers gets angry because he's there, right? But keep in mind, David is not here to fight. That's not his thing. But what happens? He's starting to understand his why. Because Goliath is doing what? He's defying God. He's not defying the army. He is defying the Almighty God, the God that David has served. And that lights a fire in David. So now David is figuring out his why. And yesterday when I was breaking that concrete, picking it up, and I seen my brother, and I look at my brother and I'm like, this is my why. This is why I was supposed to be here. There's no way one human being could have done all this by themselves, right? So it was 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. And I'm sitting here like, brother, we ate once today. That wasn't enough. But as David, I walked to the store, not knowing my why. I'd figure out part of my why. But as I'm walking to the store, I see this familiar face. And this, I seen Jesus, but not that Jesus, but Jesus. Right? And he says, you look familiar. I'm like, hey, Chewy. He's like, oh, man, Eli, hi. What are you doing over here? He's like, you look familiar. I drove by and I thought it was you. He's like, but I'm thinking to myself, man, Lord, if I would have been doing something stupid right about that time or getting angry or yelling or saying things I wasn't supposed to do because I didn't want to do that. Right? Because we don't know who's watching us. And that's the irony, right? Yeah. I swore it was my brother and I. So as Chewy and I began to talk, he said, how do you know about this house? And I grew up here. and I remember this, and I remember that, and I remember this. And he's like, man, I've been here since 2001. And I said, since 2000? I said, man, we moved out in like 2001. And yet we never talked. So as I'm talking to him, I'm telling him the story of my brother. The what? And then he starts to tell me about his what. He said, I understand you. He says, because last year I lost my father-in-law, my brother-in-law, and my sister-in-law. They all passed away. He said, on top of that, a tree fell on my house. The insurance company sent me a check. And something I've been waiting for. So I was getting ready to fix my house. He's like, but as I was fixing my house, no one showed up. None of my brother-in-laws, who are all master carpenters. He said, no one. No one. And I said, I understand your feeling. I said, it happens to me a lot. And his wife was, yeah, but he's very dumb. And I said, why? He's like, because they do that to him, and no matter what, he goes and helps them. I said, that's not dumb. I said, that's exactly what we're called to do. Yeah. The next thing she asked me, she says, what church do you go to? I said, why? She's like, because only somebody like that, somebody has to have faith. You have to believe in something more than just this. I said, yeah, I go to Dumb River. And they asked me where it was, right? And I said, we've been going here, and it's my home. This is my home. This is where I come to praise the Lord. Yay. And we're talking to them, and I'm telling him, don't be discouraged by what people tell you, because you shouldn't change. Just like David didn't change his servitude, right? Because he served the Lord in every facet. Even before a giant, I'm going to serve the Lord. You're not going to defy my God in front of me while I still have air in my lungs. So as I'm talking to him, I said, every action you do, somebody's watching. And I tell Chewy, don't worry about it. If you ask for help 20 times and they say no and they ask for your help once, continue to do. Don't let someone else's actions change you. Right? Yeah. This morning I was upstairs, and this is more like my confirmation. John was praying, and he, at the end of his prayer, when I stopped praying, he said, God, let us be used in the way that you want us to be used. And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what it was. We can't let our circumstances, our surroundings, the way people treat us and act towards us change the message that God wants us to exude, or the devotion that he wants us to give. Right? Because not everyone is devoted to the point like we are. Right? But we have a special purpose. Right? And David's purpose was amazing to me, because he's finally figuring out his why. So, 1 Samuel 17:4 says, a champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out to the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits in a span. He's telling everything that he carried in his sizes. So, says, Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. I know that there's a promise that God will lay our enemies at our feet, right? He says, you're a servant of God. David wasn't so much a servant of Saul. Like, I just had clarification with Bob, because to me, that's my resources. I go to people who've been here, who understand the word. And I wanted to understand something that I'll get towards the end, because it confused me, right? But Saul knew David as a musician. He still didn't care about... He probably forgot that he was told he was a warrior and very brave. All he cared about was that dude right there, that good-looking kid, he can play some bad lyre. He can play. That's all that matters to me. Because most kings didn't pay attention to their subjects. It was, this is what you're doing when you're done, leave. I don't want to see you. But, again, David did not serve Saul for the purpose of Saul. David served and played music for the Lord, which soothed Saul. Two different things. It's what we do. When we play music and when we sing out there, we sing for the Lord. Those around us receive peace and receive harmony and rejoice, because we're not doing it to please them, but we're doing it to please the Almighty. All right? That's just an effect. We jump in the water, the waves slap everybody else. It wasn't my point to jump in the water and hit you. But the waves touched you, no matter how far away you were. So, 1726, says, David asked a man near him, "What will be done to the man who kills this Philistine and removes his disgrace from Israel? Who is this Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Right. So a couple texts before that, the Israelites were more worried about Goliath defying the king. David wasn't worried about the king. David was worried about him defying God's army, God's people. Right. So here he's understanding his why, and he finally goes to the king, and he says, in verse 32. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." So there he's telling the king, "Hey, I'm going to fight him for you. I'm going to fight him in the name of God, but I'm going to handle this problem." And Saul replied, "You are not able to go against the Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." All right? Understand what he just told him. Been a warrior from his youth. David understands his purpose now. He's understanding his why. So he's using God's purpose in him to respond to King Saul. David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion, a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. The Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." So he's telling him, "Yep, you're right. He's been a warrior since little. So have I. I just didn't understand why I was doing that. I thought I was just protecting the sheep." Oh. Imagine us as humans, we understand what another human being is saying to us, right? So if we go into battle and he says, "I'm going to chop your head off," I know I'm going to duck every time he swings that sword, because I don't want him to chop my head off, right? Because we understand his threats. You do not understand the threats of an animal. We don't speak their language. That's why they're called savages. They don't attack the same way twice. They don't come at you the same way twice. They might need an attack at the same time. It's very different. It's called the wild. David wasn't scared to go and fight these animals. I mean, you're talking about a beast. I go to the zoo and I'm scared. And they're behind protective glass. And I'm still like, "Yeah, I don't know how thick that glass is." Let's be honest. I don't know how thick it is. That's why when I see people on safaris, I'm like, "You're all crazy. I can't do that." But David goes to Saul and says, beautifully said, "You're right. He's been a warrior, so have I. The only thing is God's been preparing me for a purpose, so I'm going to let myself be used in the way that the Lord wants me to be used." Right? And then he gives him all this gear. David says, "I don't need that. Because when I fought a bear and when I fought a lion, I didn't use any of that. I used my bare hands or what the Lord gave me." So he takes those pebbles and goes to the creek. And we all know the story, right? And the name of the Lord tells him, "I'll have you today. Victory will be mine in the name of the Lord." He proclaimed it. He executed it. And he did what he was supposed to do. But here's the other thing that drove me mad this morning, and I had to talk to Bob before this started, right? So as he's going out to battle, Saul tells one of his servants, "Who is that?" He says, "That's David." Keep in mind, this is the child that would soothe him when the spirits were tormenting him, right? Yet he could not recognize him. like I was speaking to Bob, that's how little of importance this person meant to King Saul. To Saul, he was doing his job. He was his servant. He was doing what he was called to do. You're called to serve me. After he defeated, and the Bible says, even with Goliath's head still in his hand, he said, "Who are you?" And he says, "I'm son of Jesse." And it's like, at that moment, I can only imagine that King Saul started thinking, when we looked for a musician, I was told that he was a warrior. Little did he know that he would be the warrior that would free his people, right? And proclaim the name of the Lord. And I was telling Bob, I'm baffled. How come he acts like he doesn't know him? But it's true. He probably didn't think twice about him. He said, "Bring me that harp player." Maybe didn't even know him by name. "Bring me that little skinny dude, blue eyes, long hair." Didn't know his purpose. But the thing is, he didn't defeat Goliath in the name of King Saul or in the name of Israel. He defied and defeated Goliath in the name of the Lord. As we do, right? I didn't go to help my brother only. I went because I felt that something told me to help him, and I knew it was the Lord. Because when I've been alone working, right, I know how horrible it is to know that you have other hands that can help you, yet they're not present to help you. I know that feeling. So no matter how many times it's done to me, I shouldn't do it to somebody else. Right? There was two things that happened yesterday. And this is all in culmination of, like, I've always asked the Lord, give me signs so that I know that I don't want to speak for myself. I just want you to use me as a vessel. Use me as a point of contact. Use me as a tower that you bounce your message off. So I want that message to come from heaven, bounce off me, and go in the direction that you need it to go to. So yesterday, as a young child, my parents had a little small restaurant, so I was very pro good service. Like, if I go somewhere and I have great service, it's amazing. I'm that person who writes a message, "Man, you're awesome. Thank you. God bless you, brother." And I make sure that my tip exudes what I received. So yesterday, my brother picked me up. I didn't make coffee at home, which is rare because I always make my own coffee. My brother's like, "Let's stop at Krispy Kreme." I'm like, "Bro, I'm already big. We need to stop." So he's going to go to the drive-thru, but we have this big dump trailer. Doesn't fit. He says, "Well, you're going to have to go inside because I'm going to have to go around." I'm like, "All right, I'll go." I tell the lady, "Hey, this is what I want." And I hear this guy next to me. And I don't really like Krispy Kreme donuts because they're too sweet for me. But anyways. So the guy next to me, he says, "I want some plain donuts." And she says, "Oh, do you want me to grab them before they hit the glaze?" And I'm like, "Oh, yeah, let me get two of those." I'm thinking to myself, too. So then I order coffee. And the lady is like, "Oh, we're out. We're making a fresh pot. It's going to take about 5 minutes." That five really turned into 10. It's like, I'm calm. And I'm thinking to myself, why am I not mad? I'm always mad when we get bad service. So she gives me the coffee. Get ready to walk out. I don't see my plain donuts. I'm like, "Hey, I'm supposed to have..." She brings them to me. My brother was still circling, so I was going to eat one, but it was way too hot. So I just left it in the bag. My brother and I get in the truck, and we start heading towards our destination. Take 94, and we get off on Livernois. There's two men standing on the edge. My brother's like, "Man, they look really hungry." And I tell my brother, "Man, I really wanted those donuts, man." So my brother rolls down the window and hands him these donuts. And the guy grabs them. He says, "Oh, man, they're still so hot. God bless you, man. Thank you." My what was the donuts, right? That's what I wanted. My why, I don't know yet. And I may never know. Because those donuts may have stopped those men from leaving, from being hurt, from going to do things that will put their life in danger. But his expression, "Man, they're still hot. God bless you." Those were never meant for me. But we don't know that. We don't know the why. Why it took so long to get donuts that should take 5 minutes. Why? Even my brother, when he got to the truck, he's like, man, what took you so long? And I said, bro, don't worry about it, man. It's just, he's like, how could they not have coffee? I'm like, I don't know, man, but it's all right, bro. Let's just get to work. And it was amazing. Just that blessing that he gave me blessed me more than the donuts himself. Me blessing him was nothing compared to him thanking you. Thank you, man. God bless you, bro. Thank you. And I'm saying to myself, like, you always have a funny way of telling me, hey, let me use you the way I want you to be used. Not the way you think I want to use you. Because it may be two different ways.
Yeah.
All right? So, the last story that yesterday shocked me was, it wasn't more of a shock, it was like an awakening. So, I'd been working in school since 2015, right? I run like the custodial departments and so on and so forth. And they put me in an account now that, in the words of this person, the CEO of my company, he said, it was a total debacle. So, their email went out saying, we've had 180 turnaround in the last 6 months, and we've seen things that we haven't seen here before. Well, I was enraged because that email went to my CEO, basically thanking them and me. And in turn, that person didn't say, hey, good job, or nothing. And then I seen my bonus, and I was like, this is a slap in the face. And then I became to get angered, and because that person took this email and then forwarded it to everybody who's somebody in their company, including the owners. And not once did he mention, hey, Eli put his team first, this and that. It angered me even more, and I'm like, but then I had this little meeting with somebody, and he said, oh, we don't want you to leave. He says, your company can leave if they want, but you're always going to have a place here. So that's God telling me, I got your back. Why do you worry?
Yeah.
So last night, we walked into my sister-in-law's school. So we finished the cement about 7 o'clock at night. Then my sister-in-law called and she says, hey, do you guys want to see the carpeting? She's so excited about the school that she just got. So my brother and I went. Well, then we had to move rooms.
Oh, yeah, that's why she wanted to see it. That's why she wanted to see it.
So we stayed there till about 10:30 at night. And I told my brother, man, I got to study the word, man. Like, but I was studying the word the whole day long, and I just didn't know it.
Yeah.
So July 1st, my sister-in-law took over school, and she became principal. She got promoted. So she said, hey, come see this school. See if you can help me. So my what, when I got there, I walked in there. School was disgusting from every aspect of it. And I told her, I was so angry. I had tears coming down my eyes. I said, sister, I wouldn't let my dog come here. I wouldn't let my dog come here, but these kids don't know any better. Right? They don't know any better. Just like the sinners out in the world, most of them don't know any better. They just know what they've been taught. So I called this other district I was in. I'm like, hey, do you got any furniture you want to get rid of? He's like, yeah, I got like two semis. And then I'm in this new account, and I'm trying to build a relationship with them because they have this wall up so high they can't stand this company that I'm with. And I start bringing it down with kindness, right? So I start using my jackhammer. I'm just like, hey, what can I do for you to make it better? What can I do for you to make your job easier? How can I assist you for you to meet your potential? I started breaking down this barrier. And then she called me. This customer called me. She's like, remember how you said, how can you help me? I said, yeah. She's like, this company didn't come and pick up all the furniture. Can you get it out of here by Monday? I called my sister. I'm like, hey, sister, we need to rent a U-Haul. She's like, why? This is what I've said, that I've been working for like the last 7 Saturdays. We go get this furniture, and I see this joy in my sister-in-law's face. I call her my sister. My sister's face. I see this joy in her face. She's like, do you know how much this table is worth? And I said, no. She said, this is a $500 table that I do not have money to purchase. And there's seven of them.
Wow. Praise God.
Always. And then we go and get something else. And then we go getting something else. And then we go get something else. By the time we were all said and done, we had collected like 300 chairs, 300 desks for teachers. Her gym was packed, right? So I'm figuring, hey, that's amazing. But last night, as I'm sitting with my brother and my sister, and I got the painter, a buddy of mine came and did the painting for about 35% less than what he would normally charge. And then we have these people laying down this carpet, and it's all coming together, right? And my sister-in-law says, we serve an amazing God. She said, and she introduced me to somebody, and she said, this is my brother-in-law. This is my project manager. This is the person who's made all this possible through God. And she was in Lansing with her CEO. And he's like, you've only been there since July 1st, and it's amazing everything you've accomplished. And she says, I didn't accomplish it by myself. She said, I have this amazing brother-in-law who's helped me. In fact, we do the cleaning there now. And he says, so I've heard that the cleaning is the best it's ever been in 15 years. And last night, I understood my why. My why was to serve those children. My why was every account that I had worked in for the last 4 years was a purpose. I built a relationship, but the culmination of that relationship was for this exact same moment, because the Lord knew that my sister-in-law was going to be facing her own Goliath, a building that was disgusting, horrible, staff that didn't care, didn't want to work because of the conditions of the building, and children that knew no better, so could not ask for better. And last night I sat there and I laid on the floor and I was beat. Every bone in my body was hurting. And I'm sitting there like, man, God, you're amazing. You're amazing in so many ways that we still don't comprehend it. So last night I figured out my why. But what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to do it, we can figure this out every single day, because we have so many gifts that the Lord has put in us that we haven't even tapped our potential, right? But the why, once you figure out the why, the whole action takes a new meaning. The whole way we do things, the way that we worship the Lord, the way that we serve the Lord, the way that we walk, the way that we talk, changes. It takes on a whole new meaning, because now the purpose has been brought to light, and we will be like David. David didn't stop at that line, because in the Bible it says that at a certain time, for 40 days, I believe, was it, Bob? Was it for 40 days that they lined up against each other?
I believe it was, yeah.
But it says they all came up to the lines that were drawn with the valley between them. No one crossed. No one wanted to get killed. And here comes this young, scrawny man with a sling, a couple rocks, and a staff. And he crossed that line. He already knew his why. He knew his why, and he was so focused. He didn't see that line no more. In fact, he didn't see when all those that were with him, part of Israel, stopped. They all stopped at a certain distance. And he continued to walk, yet he never looked back. And that's what we must do. When we're walking with the group or walking with a purpose, a lot of times people say, I'm going to do this, but I'm only going to do that much. After that much, I ain't doing squat. I done did what I was supposed to do. And sometimes we see somebody stop. Why are you stopping? Oh, that's enough. Oh, you know what? Kind of is enough. I think I did enough. Nope. It's not enough. Because once you figure out your why, you won't stop. You'll stop once you have met the needs that God has given us. Once we get to that point, it was an accomplishment. It was a battle won, and something that we can use every single day here. So I ask you guys, we know what we're supposed to do as Christians. We know how we can be good Christians. But now we want to find our why, our purpose. Amen. Okay? And I thank you guys for letting me talk
thank
to you.
Thank you. Give me a hand. Excellent word. And I looked it up. My wife, it was 40 days. I thought it was. And what a coincidence. Where else do we hear 40 days? The flood? Jesus in the desert? Something is coming against something. It's usually 40 days. But at the end of that time, something of God happens. And that's exactly related to this story. But great job, Eli. We appreciate it. And all your hard work last night, too. All right. Who would you like to close?
Mark.
Amen. Praise God. Lord, we just want to thank you for this day, Father God. We just thank you for the blessing that you've given us in Eli, Lord God, the word that he brought forth today, Lord God. May we always step forward, Lord, over that line, Lord. Let us always be looking for why we are serving you, Lord God. Give us a reason to serve you, Father God. Now we pray a blessing on the service today, Lord, the praise and worship, Lord, and we just thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.